You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
Welcome to Midlife Side Quest, episode 19 for January 26th, 2022. Thank you so much for tuning in. On today's episode, we are going to be talking all about yesterday's Xbox and Bethesda Developer Direct. If you haven't yet subscribed to the show, please take a moment to do so. And I would also love to hear your feedback, which you can do by leaving a review wherever you're listening to today's episode. You can also find me on Twitter and Hive at MidlifeSQ. So I love finding new activities to take my kids to. And this past weekend for the Lunar New Year, we headed out to a place that was pretty new. It had just opened a few months ago, called the Asia Mall here in Minnesota, to check out and grab some food. Pretty cool place, with the first floor taking up primarily by a big grocery store featuring cool produce, meats, and seafood that you're not really going to find at other grocery stores. And the second floor had various restaurants and eateries. My wife and I had heard a lot about Hot Pot before, but had never had it. So we decided to stop at this place that we saw there up on the second floor. Think of it as kind of like a fondue place. You sit at a circular table with a heated pot in the center. You choose a couple of broths that you would like to use, as well as many veggies and proteins from the menu as you want, which you then dump into the pot and cook yourself. We tried all sorts of stuff like crab, beef, squid, shrimp, scallops, as well as a bunch of different veggies and noodles and sauces. It's a fun idea that lets you try all sorts of different foods. The real kicker, though, the real thing that got our attention in the first place, was the staff of robot servers running back and forth between the kitchen and the dining room, bringing the customers their food. That's right. Robots. The future is here. After we tell our far inferior human waitress which of the foods we want to try, she types that into her tablet, and within a few minutes, a 5-foot-tall robot with cat ears and an LED screen for a face and a painted-on tuxedo zips out to your table to deliver your food. With its bizarre childlike voice, the robot wishes you a good meal. You grab your food, and with a smile, it turns around and it zips back into the kitchen. Amazing. Robots. I might not live long enough to see flying cars or a cure for cancer, but I'm really happy that I at least made it that far. So last week brought the awful news that 10,000 Microsoft employees were being laid off across pretty much every segment of the company, including the Xbox division. There has been word that both the Coalition and Bethesda Game Studios were hit with cuts, and in particular, 343 Industries, the makers of Halo, were hit with major layoffs, with some reporting that up to a third of the studio was let go. This, understandably, has set a pretty sour tone for the entire week. And yet, Microsoft had scheduled a showcase for yesterday, and they had the unenviable task of trying to pivot the narrative from these awful layoffs to games, to the slate of games releasing in the first half of the year. And they did it. They gave it their all, you know, and there was quite a bit to show off. So let's talk about the games. First off, before the show even began, they announced what I thought might be a special surprise during the event, that GoldenEye 007 is launching this Friday, tomorrow, on Xbox and Game Pass, which I am just ridiculously excited about. Replaying one of the greatest games of that generation in 4K with achievements. Yep, I know exactly what I'm going to be doing tomorrow night for sure. As far as the show itself, they kicked things off with a look at Minecraft Legends, the upcoming strategy game from Mojang. I'm not sure how many people are at the cross-section of being a Minecraft fan and a fan of real-time strategy games, but if they exist, this game looks like it would satisfy both. There's plenty of, you know, resource gathering and troop management and fort building, all in that unmistakable Minecraft visual blocky style. I've been playing quite a bit of Minecraft actually lately, but strategy isn't really my thing. It does look like it's really well made though, so maybe I'll give it a shot when it hits Game Pass on April the 18th. Next up was Forza Motorsport from Turn 10 Studios. This game looks to give gearheads exactly what they want with the first true next-gen racer. It had its fair share of, you know, car techno babble that I didn't really follow, you know, about light refracting and how dirt accumulates on your car, whatever. But what I did understand was that they claim that this game is going to run at 60 frames per second in 4K resolution with ray tracing, which few games in any genre have pulled off on consoles this generation. So while I might not be like the biggest sim racing fan, I definitely want to see this game in action. Sadly, this was the one game, I think, in the showcase which didn't get a solid release date, which makes me a little worried that maybe it slipped to a bit later in the year. The next game that they showed was probably the highlight of the whole show, not only because it was a complete surprise, nobody knew it was coming, or that it looked completely awesome, but also because they released the game right after the show, the full game, available now. Hi-Fi Rush from Tango Gameworks. Yes, the makers of Evil Within. It looks like the love child of Sunset Overdrive and Jet Grind Radio, with a little bit of Rock Band thrown in there. And I am super here for it. It's got bright, colorful visuals, rhythm-based musical combat, over-the-top boss battles, a cool robot cat. This looks like a ton of fun. Now, I haven't yet had a chance to play it. I've downloaded it, but I cannot wait to check it out this weekend and see if this Shadow Drop lives up to those games that it seems to be inspired by. Seriously, that one looks really cool. Next up was The Elder Scrolls Online, which has a new expansion coming in June. I don't really have much to say about this one. I am not one for MMOs, but ESO has been popular for a long time, and this looks pretty well done. They also announced that for a limited time, all of the expansions would be available for free to Game Pass users. And there are a lot of expansions. They put them all up on the screen. There's like 20 things there. So if you've been thinking about jumping in to ESO, right now seems like a pretty good time to do it. And lastly, we had Redfall. This vampire slaying adventure from Arcane Austin. The more I see about this game, the more I'm really excited about it. The open world in this, I think it's like a Massachusetts seaside small town. It looks really unique and it's got a lot of character to this world. It looks like it's full of side quests and nasty creatures to slay. Recent previews have hinted that the game is actually maybe has a bit more in common with the Far Cry games than with Back 4 Blood, which is kind of the impression they originally gave. And I'm super okay with that. I like the Far Cry games, easy for you to say, quite a bit. So if that's the angle they're going for, I'm down. My one hang-up on this game has always been that I was worried that it wouldn't be as enjoyable for single-player gamers like me, as opposed to people who chose to play it co-op, which you can with up to three friends. But I think my fears have been eased, and it looks like it's going to be super, super fun when it hits PC and Xbox, including Game Pass, on May 2nd. Overall, I was incredibly impressed with Xbox's first developer direct. You know, if I'm slapping a grade on this thing, I really do think it was an A. The style of the show was great, with everything being presented from the development teams themselves. I think that was super cool to hear from these teams, especially these teams that are, you know, going through some rough times probably right now. And to get that behind the scenes look at what they've been working on, and looking at these games, they moved at a great pace, you know, giving us more than just, you know, a teaser trailer, which you would get in another showcase, but also not, you know, stretching and being, you know, too long with it. Like, you know, when they would spend 20 minutes on Smash Brothers. It just really was a sharp, sharp presentation. And I really hope Xbox keeps this format and we see more of these in the future in between their big E3 type presentations. If we get like two or three of these even scattered throughout the year, that's going to be great. Xbox has a stacked first half of the year. And if the second half is even close to what they're getting done in the first, we honestly might be looking at one of the best years that Xbox has ever seen. Congrats. Well done all around. With the release of Forspoken this week came a wide range of critical reviews and the age-old and tiresome conversation about game scores and Metacritic. Folks argued about the relevance of scores, what qualifies as a good score, and the ability to enjoy a game with a substandard score. I bring this up to reiterate that you won't ever find a numbered score on Midlife SideQuest. And here's why I probably won't even use the word review either, usually. I think numbered scores are fine. They serve a purpose. Some people just want to get a surface level look at whether a game is good or not. And I'm fine with that. I'm not advocating that the entire industry abandon that system. But for myself, I don't like using it because I feel like you can lose a lot of nuance in your opinion when someone just kind of looks at that number and moves on. After all, not all 7 out of 10 scores are created equal. If it's a movie, that may very well be worth a couple hours of your time, whereas a game can take 20 to 40 hours, and that's a much bigger ask. Price also plays a role. My thoughts on the actual quality of the game might not differ, but whether or not, you know, I recommend someone try it out, probably would, depending on price. You know, after playing High on Life on Game Pass, I thought, well, that was, you know, an okay way to spend a couple of hours. Didn't really, you know, click with me that much, so I'm just going to be done with it. Whereas if I spent $60 or $70 on it, I'd probably be a bit more upset about my time with the game. You know, I'd probably have a little bit of a harsher opinion on it. So does that score fluctuate when the game goes on sale? And there are also, quite frankly, some games which, you know, I wouldn't rate super high because I know they're deeply flawed, but I still really enjoyed my time with them. You know, something like Crackdown 3. I know Crackdown 3 isn't a great game, but I had a lot of fun with it. How do I score that? I think for me, I prefer just to have the conversation about the game, tell you what I think of it, and leave the numbering to others. I guess I'm never going to get on Metacritic. Thank you so much for listening to Midlife Side Quest. You can catch new episodes every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts. And remember, if you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and leave a review and share with your friends. You can also follow the show on Twitter or Hive, where we go by MidlifeSQ. Until next time, be well and keep playing.